Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Transformational Architecture, Engineering, and Construction. And today we got a fabulous guest. We have David Hutton here. David is a renowned developer who has been involved with some of the most iconic projects globally. The focus of today's discussion is on the built environment, how it's evolving, why technology is increasingly important, and how developers need to change their strategy to win going forward. So again, welcome, David, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much, Bill. I'm really looking forward to today's conversation.
The first question I really want to get into is really this idea of what's the evolution of the built environment. Now, you've been in this industry for a long time, and you've seen an enormous amount of change already. But what are some of the key changes you see today or that are emerging that are a lot different than when you first entered the industry?
Well, Bill, as you touched on one hand, I like to think I'm still young and learning, but I have been in the industry over 30 years. And there's been a whole range of evolution, and no doubt that'll continue, and we'll touch on some of those elements today. But positively and negatively, I think if I start with the positives, the recognition now that the built environment is so important to us all. It's important to society, it's important to environment, it's important to the quality of life. So I think now there's a real recognition from government to the private sector through to individuals of the importance of the environment we create and we live in. So that's probably the first thing, and I think a very positive one. If I went to the other extreme, our industry is still really fragmented. We lack R&D. We've often focused much more on cost than value and cost. And we're really lagging many other industries in terms of the rate of advancement. So they're probably the two highlights that
negative. Just talking about the first one, I like that. And you can see that in some of the things you built. I mentioned Barangaroo. Barangaroo in Sydney. So that development it's amazing how vibrant it is. It's vibrant during the day when people are coming to work. It's vibrant on the weekends when families are there. Is that what you're really talking about, is building something that is consumable by all kinds of people at all times and can change to suit different needs?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And I think if you step right back to the fundamentals, real estate, you could argue it's created by people, but it's really for people. And real estate can become a mechanism to be able to create greater community integration. And whether it's workplace, whether we were talking about infrastructure, like the quality of experience one may have in an airport, the changing role of workplace being focused around people and well-being, and on through pretty much every asset class. I think there's a real understanding now that the quality of experience people have is really the fundamental that underpins real estate. So the public realm, the importance of the space between buildings, mixed use, and there's so many elements, and obviously the integration to transport as well.
Yeah, you know, all these things are coming together when they used to be separate issues, right? It really is more exciting than ever to be a developer. And so where are the greatest opportunities in development these days? And I'd like you to think about geographical, the type of buildings, like I know residential versus industrial versus even data centers is a huge development opportunity. So how does a developer need to think to be successful in getting access to these opportunities and making money at it?
What? That's a pretty big question, and I'll touch on a few points, and I'm still learning about those as well. But I think first of all, you've got to start with the end user and really understand that. So real estate, if you think about the value of real estate, it's really a derivative of what it's used for. So there isn't essentially an inherent value of real estate. If you build a building, it doesn't mean the value relates to the cost. The value actually comes out of the use of that real estate. So I think always starting with the end user is paramount. We've spoken about the importance of users' experience and the contribution to the city, but from my perspective, always thinking about the outcomes, how the real estate will be used ongoing, and that fundamentally comes back to people. So that's the first paramount, and I think that's equally applicable across all sectors. You touched on how the industry's changing. If you think about residential, there's now many forms of residential. So the aged community around the world is changing dramatically. Many more cities are having older demographics. So what does that mean for how those people live? You touched on technology. There's an explosion in data centers and technology. And again, that really requires the real estate industry to be able to respond and create that infrastructure. So big opportunities there. There's a huge weight of capital wanting to invest in assets. And I think it's important for all of us to understand real estate can't just be thought about in isolation. It's a combination of capital. It's a combination of infrastructure. It's a combination of a whole array of disciplines coming together to create those outcomes. And on a personal level, I think that's one of the areas that makes real estate so exciting. And it's the ability to bring together that an array of disciplines and expertise to create those outcomes. And in one sense, the ability to bring those together, to be able to understand an outcome, bring the disciplines, bring the capital, bring the community, the government, the authorities, utilities, other stakeholders, to be able to align them around a common vision is the biggest opportunity in real estate. And it's those that can do that and have the IQ and the EQ to do that are the ones that will really be successful into the future.
Do you think the governments have changed in some of these places to sort of foster this idea of creating great places? Are they asking for it? Are they enabling it? Are you seeing that they want to drive developers to making their cities greater?
Yeah, I am. And I think generally around the world, in many, many key cities, that's certainly the case. And I think cities are realizing they're competing with each other. They're competing for talent. They're competing for population. They're focused on the quality of their environment, the quality of the public realm, and they're also focused on their economies. So real estate is such a fundamental part of cities and a way for cities to really brand themselves, position themselves, and the duty of care they obviously have to their citizens. So I'd say an overwhelming yes. That doesn't necessarily make it always easy. Many governments, many cities are lacking capital. So again, they require the private sector and the real estate industry to be able to not only come up with a physical solution, but to be able to come up with a capital and investment solution that goes with that.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, having lived in Sydney for 5 years and traveled a lot to Singapore, I think these are two really beautiful cities where the government and the private sector have worked together to create some really iconic places, places people want to be. So there just seems to be an opportunity when government comes together with private developers to create these new places. So what are the greatest challenges facing, you know, developers? Because when you're doing everything you said, it's a much more complex environment and it requires a lot of more planning and honestly, investment for sustainability, safety, quality, more affordability. And so what are some of the key challenges that are being faced and how are developers going to have to respond to those challenges?
Yeah, so I think there's a range of those. And fundamentally, one of the big challenges with the real estate industry is productivity. And if you go back and reflect on how long it takes to build a building, over my career, it still takes the same duration or even longer. And you think about that in the context of, say, technology overall. When I started my career, mobile phones were only just coming in. Then we went to the internet, obviously. Then we've been through smart devices. We're now into the era of AI. And if you look at the real estate industry, it still takes us pretty much the same time to build a building. So something there isn't right. And I think there's a big opportunity. Many in our industry would answer this question, talk about planning. And planning now in many of the Western cities, the larger democracies, you find many different interest groups and challenges of being able to get alignment on planning. And obviously, real estate and change and renewal and regeneration comes with disruption factors. So people are always concerned about how will this change or a new development or a new building or a new district impact them? So it often takes many years to get through the planning system. So inherently to me, that really requires the ability of the industry to paint a very positive future, to be able to be genuinely focused on the environment, the social and the economic benefits that come out of renewal, and to be able to articulate that and communicate it really well. So that's one of the biggest challenges of the industry, and it'll be one of the biggest factors of those that are successful and those that aren't successful. I think the other bill we've touched on is really capital. You've got to bring capital and infrastructure and real estate together. Those things are all converging. And, you know, I came to work this morning, I came to work on the metro, I come into the building, I use the smart app to come into the building and so on. But integrating technology, integrating the built form, integrating the quality of the public realm and human experience is fundamental to the future of real estate. And as an industry, I think we need to continue to get better at that. And I think we need to be able to communicate that and ensure we can bring the various stakeholders with us.
There's an old adage that, you know, you can have speed, quality, or cost, but you can't have all three. Isn't that the challenge, that you want sustainability, safety, affordable housing? What are some of the things that have to be done? Because the price of land isn't getting any cheaper. So it's only the process itself and the product and the people who put it together that you somehow have to bend the curve. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't come from a perspective of one must always compromise things to get an outcome. I don't believe in that. I think you can get great alignment. I think you can get collective, say, terrific economic outcomes and still deliver great environmental and social outcomes. And I think the maturity of the market now, the focus of government and authorities is ensuring we deliver collective positive outcomes. So I think that can be done, but a lot of it comes back to how we work, the tools we can utilize, how we work across multiple disciplines. And that's where I think the industry needs to keep evolving. And there's pockets that have really changed. Like if you think about, I was recently assisting a friend buy a residential property in London, and I'm sitting here in Singapore, so I'm able to go online, I'm able to search all across the city, I'm able to look at the streets, I'm able to look at the layouts, I'm able to look at the history of transactions. So elements of real estate, say buying a residential condominium or apartment, have completely transformed in the last 10 years. So they're utilizing that technology. If you focus on other elements in the industry, I'd say we're still a laggard. We're still a laggard in many of the logistics. We've still got a way to go how we integrate design. We've got challenges and opportunities in how we communicate outcomes. So I think how we use technology and the tools we use have lagged some elements of our industry. And I think there's big opportunities in that as we start to progress and as the tools available to the industry fundamentally change.
Well, you know, I think that's right. I see other industries have embraced technology to allow them to deal with those challenges of time, cost, and quality. And so, you know, we've seen this in the manufacturing industries. We've seen this in the financial services industries. A lot of industries have made the change. Yet our industry seems to be almost allergic to the use of technology out there. Do you think that's going to change? Do you think the culture is up for embracing and adopting technology?
Yeah, I think we'll all be forced to do it, Bill. So, now I touched on before about some of the challenges around productivity. There was a study done a number of years ago by McKinsey that really showed the real estate productivity over the last 20 years has increased by less than 1% against a backdrop of global GDP approaching 3%. And against manufacturing of 4 or 5%, and the technology sector increasing productivity per year between 5 and 10%. So the industry's lagging, and the statistics all prove that. And there's pressures coming from other areas. If you look at the pressure on, say, affordable housing now, how are we as a society able to produce housing outcomes that are far more economic and affordable? So I see there's focus from government, there's focus from the private sector, there's certainly focus from the capital markets. There's a lot of money that wants to invest in productive assets. Real estate, globally, real estate has around $400 trillion invested in real estate. The majority of that's residential, but there's very large capital that wants, or capital amounts that want to come into real estate. So we need to be able to give them productive returns. So what I'm most excited about now is I think the industry's recognizing that and starting to focus on what are the tools we can create? What are the changes in the way of working? And how do we adopt some of the technologies in other areas and bring them into the real estate sector and get the benefit of them? So I think that's a big opportunity for the sector.
Yeah, it does feel like we're reaching the blockbuster Netflix moment in property, where if you stick with the old way of doing things, no matter how profitable it may have been, you're going to miss the opportunity, because what's happening in these cities is it's going to move in that direction. And it sounds like only those who really can figure out how to deliver it all are really going to reap the rewards here, like Netflix did. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, I do. Albeit, I think it'll be a little more of an evolution than a one-off single change or a one-off single organization. So real estate requires so many disciplines to come together. It's not a single product you can simply replicate and wind out. The location, there's not really two locations in the world that are exactly the same. You could argue there's not really two locations in a city that are identical. So we need, in real estate, we need to be sensitive to the environment. We need to be sensitive to the different users. And therefore, there'll always be an element of customization in real estate, creating buildings, creating public realm, creating environment that's authentic and suits its users and suits its context. So that's different, say, to if I was just manufacturing a consumer good. But inherently, where technology is going now is it's giving us much more capacity for mass customization. And real estate has many variables. And again, technology can cope with that. So it has the capacity for that. So I think inherently it'll be different to the Netflix moments, but I think the change and the opportunity is huge in scale. And I think now you're starting to see many organizations really starting to explore how can technology be used much better in real estate. And that's not only in design and creation and logistics, but it also relates to how real estate and the built environment's managed longer term. And I think that's as important as the creation of real estate.
So maybe it wasn't that our industry was allergic to technology. It's that the technology advances had not yet caught up to the problem. Because if I think about it, we still live in a world where creativity is necessary. There is no one size fits all for every location. Even the plot of land you're building in is going to be different. So trying to fit something there that does all that, that still has to be a group of really high IQ, EQ people who are working together to get that done. So we've got all these people involved, so we need great collaboration technology. We're finally getting to that. We've got to have a way to be able to work together on design and be able to share designs. We've got to have the ability for the software to look at that design and start to make sure that it's actually buildable. And then we've got to get to the point where we can actually buy the products that are against the design, so we don't design something that you can't build. It sounds like it's not that we're allergic, that the technology wasn't there. So do you kind of feel that that's true, number one? And number two is, you know, do you believe those are the technologies that are necessary?
Yeah, I think that's right, albeit I think the industry also needs to accept responsibility and the need for change. So, you know, if you're sitting in the technology world, you're probably looking at the real estate industry and sort of thinking how backward they are. And likewise, if you're sitting in the real estate industry, I don't think we can point to technology and say, you know, you haven't yet created sophisticated enough tools. I think it's, again, it will come down to great collaboration and understanding between those that are very good at technology and those that are focused on real estate outcomes and how those groups work together. And as we've both mentioned a few times, it's a combination of IQ and EQ, because the fact that real estate needs to combine so many different disciplines. And it's relying on external stakeholders. It must engage with communities. It must engage with city authorities. It must engage with capital. It must engage with end users. And one of the analogies I often draw, it's a little bit like solving a Rubik's Cube. You can't just solve one face. You can't simply say, well, we've solved real estate for the government or the authority requirements. That might be one side of the Rubik's Cube, but you need to solve it for capital. You need to solve it for users. You need to solve it for its specific location and so on. So I think it's a combination of the tools getting better, and I think it's a combination of the industry changing and adapting and being far more progressive. If I could add one thing to that, Bill, as well, I think it's the smarter economic models that can better align value capture and cost. One of the big challenges for the industry, it spends very little money on R&D. And often parts of the industry would say, if we create a better solution, we don't actually benefit from any value from that. Holistically, there may be value created, but, and I'll give you a really simple example. If I'm paid a percentage of cost and I come up with a great idea to reduce cost, but I'm still paid the same nominal percentage of a lower number, there's no benefit in me reducing cost. So many parts of our industry, how we procure, how we structure and encourage expertise to add value also needs to be reflected on and perhaps restructured or rethought.
Yeah, I think the developers are going to have to lead the way because they're the ones actually who can make all the decisions. When you look at the technology, you know, if I take a different industry, I look at the movie industry. And, you know, in the movie industry today, that's a creative world. And what we're seeing, and we see a battle for this, is that I'm seeing some Gen AI startups. They're creating movies that are phenomenal in their quality, the storylines. Yet you have a handful of people in the studio working on this. And that's going to create a conflict in that industry with actors and script writers, and we already see that in some of the unionization efforts that are going on. You know, some people I've heard would just say, well, the building's just like that. You know, it's just like a movie. If you can create a movie, you can create a building fully. Do you think that's true?
I'm not an expert on the movie industry, but I feel the way forward is giving the professions better tools. I think a number of years ago when I started to have discussions around technology and real estate, a lot of the thought pattern then was we can replace all the architects. We can completely replace all the engineers. We can fully automate from sort of cradle to grave. We can automate the whole process. And I genuinely believe now the smart technology players, the progressive real estate developers and industry aren't seeing it as we change from how we're doing things today to a completely new world. But they're starting to see there's tools that if you're a great designer, there's tools that can make you far more productive and can ultimately result in far better designs and outcomes. And I think there's the recognition that it's not completely one extreme or the other in real estate. And if you look at design, one of the examples I often give to my colleagues is when you're developing a new building or proposing a new building or a new district, you have to bring the stakeholders with you. So when you go and present to a government planning committee or a community, they're really looking to have trust and confidence in who is doing this design and will it be a great design. And it's very difficult if you simply go along and say, well, technology's going to do the design alone. People still grapple with, well, what does that really mean and what will the outcome be? So they're still looking for designers that have great reputations and great brands and great track records. So to me, the best designers in the world will still have those elements of creativity, but they'll be using tools that are far more advanced and they'll connect across the other disciplines far, far better. And they'll make the process far more efficient, more effective, more accurate. And again, one example of that, if you look at building sites around the world, nearly 30% of what goes onto a site is waste or comes out as waste. So technology should be able to eliminate the vast majority of that. The accuracy in dimensions, in measurements, avoiding conflicts, it should be lead to much, much better results. So I think there's huge opportunity. I don't believe individuals will disappear out of the industry, but I think the tools we can use can make us far, far better and far more effective.
You know, I asked you that question a bit unfairly on purpose, because there is a sort of discussion going on around the world about Gen AI being able to do everything. This movies only deal with virtual world. Whatever they design doesn't have to be a physical construct at the end of the day. Our industry has to do is to do a digital concept, and then it actually has to put together a physical concept, and it has to have all those attributes of safety and other things that a movie doesn't have. So I think it's a false equivalence that people often have, because we still need people to drive the process. We need to make sure that what is being done is being driven by engineers who are qualifying those designs that they can be built, by suppliers of products that they can offer those products, by architects who are bringing the EQ while they're bringing the IQ. And I think it gets to what you said. There's so much opportunity just in waste. There's so much opportunity in helping give greater certainty to the design to make things go faster, that we don't need to think, oh, we're going to replace everybody. In fact, that's not the goal. The goal is to make everybody work together better. And that's why I love this industry, where we can clearly see that this is a place where people have to work together and technology has to support them. But Gen AI does have a place in making that happen, as you really pointed out. So I think it's important for the listeners to think that through. This is not a case where in 5 years we're getting rid of everyone. That may happen in other industries, call centers, for example, but I don't see it happening here. What other industries do you look at that have done automation that you look at and go, you know, there we can probably learn something from how those industries do it?
Yeah, I think there's an array of learnings to be brought into the industry. As I said, real estate's really a combination of many different things. So I touched on earlier how automation can help transactions. And real estate is always involved in sales, in leasing, in land acquisition, in procurement. So they're an example of technology can be used on all those things to automate. When we talk about the management of things and getting data back and looking at how we refine, whether it's mechanical systems or customer service elements, again, many other industries do that. The hospitality industry, for example, that could be brought across other sectors in real estate. So I think there's many areas. Manufacturing, clearly, in thinking about how the real estate industry procures and how it designs and how it gets better feedback from manufacturing, there's many, many lessons. So, and even the service industries, the direct service industries, because ultimately real estate is about people. So again, we've got to recognize it's not really about the buildings. It's not really about the physical hardware. It's about the quality of experience people have in it. So in addition to talking about placemaking, the importance of public realm, more and more now the focus is going on the curation of those spaces. How are they programmed? How are they brought to life? How do people enjoy them and interface with the public realm, with the amenity, with the offerings going forward? So again, there's areas in technology around customer service and different things that the industry can adopt and use more of. So I think it's really up the industry. How does it pull those things together? How does it focus on them? And then the interface between all those different areas that ultimately make, you know, they make great buildings, they make great districts, they make great cities, is what it's about and where the future is. And I think technology has a really big role to play in that.
I'd be remiss, David, if I didn't point out some of the companies that you and I, you know, both love, who share our view on what the world's got to look like and how development is going to change. Like, and I know we both were deeply involved with the creation of Podium.io, which we spun out of Lendlease. And that was quite a journey and very interesting, but that's addressing a lot of these challenges that we've seen. I'd also call out Autodesk and some of the work they're doing, which is driving in this direction. So there are some great companies that are starting to work on this, and I'd ask the listeners to check them out. Any podcasts or books that influence you a lot that you might share with our readers where they can learn a little more and maybe get a little more inspired?
Yeah, I often go to three sources for that, Bill, because real estate The first one is real estate requires capital. So I always like to listen to what the big investors are thinking. And there's, I won't name names, but there's obviously a number of very big sovereign funds. There's a number of very big global asset managers. So I always line up to listen to their results, their thoughts and sector, where they see different sectors going and where they want to place capital. So, but that's one source, because without capital, it's very hard to do things. So I treat that stakeholder really importantly, and I always listen to where capital's going. The second area I like to listen to and engage with is really on the consumer side, because ultimately real estate is about people. And if you start to look at the individual sectors in real estate, say workplace has completely changed now. It is about the quality of environment. People don't need to come to the office, as we all know. So really understanding what brings people together, what is the role of the workplace? And that applies equally to residential and the other sectors. What's really driving them at a user level? And then the third area I like to spend time listening to, and being here in Singapore, where the URA, the Government Redevelopment Agency and Planning Agency, I love to listen to where they are, because progressive governments, whether they're at a city level, state level, or a national level, are really focused on what are their agendas. And again, as a developer, you're really trying to create solutions that work for government, that work for end users, and work for capital. So I spend time trying to understand all three. And I use my time now on the metro and different things on the way to work to be able to do that, and to really try and understand where are the stakeholders, and therefore, how as a developer, as a real estate provider, do you create solutions that play to those multiple stakeholders?
That's great advice, actually. I like the way you structured that. Second to last question. So can you name your two favorite projects you've ever done? I know you've been involved with a lot of them, but tell me two of your favorite projects.
Well, you touched on Barangaroo earlier. It's obviously a very large project undertaken by Lendlease. And the first thing I would say, for all of us that are involved in big projects, it's always a team effort. It's a team effort from government, stakeholders, a whole array of people. But what is most important to me and stands out on that project the most is the quality of outcome. And I was on the Parramatta River west of Sydney on the Rivercat, the boat that goes up the river from the city. And I was coming back on a Saturday afternoon last year, And hearing people as they got onto the boat talking about the evening they were going to have at Barangaroo. So they were coming into the city for events, for dinners and so on, but various groups were talking about it with a real sense of excitement as a place to go to. And to me, ultimately, when you get feedback that people love the destination, they love the place, they love the experience, I think ultimately that's what real estate is all about and has a big role to contribute to. So that one's always special to me. And then there's probably other projects, and again, I won't particularly name one, but is in the renewal area. And where there's an opportunity to do a big transformation. So I've been involved in a number of projects in London where they took areas of the city that were disused and run down with a lot of social problems, and seeing that transformation. And again, always disruptive, always with complications that that relate to concerns around displacement and so on. But seeing the transformation, improvement in public realm, improvement in social outcomes, improvement in the environment is incredibly rewarding to be able to be part of a positive legacy for the future. So I think real estate provides such great opportunities to make a much broader contribution. And I think that's what makes the industry so exciting.
That's great. Any final words of inspiration to leave people with?
Yeah, I think Bill, what I would like to say, and it's probably thinking a little bit about the next generation and also those that are in the technology space and other industries, real estate is a great place to work. I think on an individual level, on a professional level, and as I, you know, we kicked off the beginning of this by talking a little bit about the importance of cities. And I think that's hugely recognized now. And I think for those younger generation coming through, thinking about careers, thinking about opportunity, I think real estate is a wonderful opportunity. It needs great people. It needs really advanced skills, both on the EQ and the IQ side. It needs people that can bring industry together. It needs technology, but it provides an opportunity to really leave positive legacies as well. What I would like to say to those who are thinking about their careers and thinking about real estate, I think real estate's a great opportunity. So I would encourage people to come into the industry. I think it's got a really bright future and it needs bright, creative people that can really make a difference.
That's great. And it is the single greatest part of the world GDP is the real estate sector. I don't think people realize just how big this sector is and what the real opportunities are. There's a lot of change coming, and if you want to be part of it, it's a great career for anyone who joins. Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to continuing to follow you and get your wisdom as you continue on your journey.
Thanks very much, Bill. We'll speak again soon.